Sable, Ron Goldschlager's daughter, and I'll be introducing our guests today on behalf of our family. All of us are on a journey. The journey is about learning and understanding and growing as a human being. Our journey never ends until we leave this earth at the end of our life. The mystery of you. Today, I welcome you on a journey that began simply as a collection of thoughts, but has grown into a kind of guidebook that challenges its reader to live a more meaningful and spiritual life. We are honoured to have two highly regarded community leaders, who we will hear from in turn, to launch this journey. I will then invite my father, Ron, to the stage. A leading tax lawyer and senior partner of Arnold Bloch Leibler, Mark Leibler is well known for his staunch support for Israel and Jewish life and as a leading advocate for Indigenous Australians. But today I invite Mark to speak as personal friend and trusted confidant of my father. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Leibler.
Ron and Dina and the Goldschlager family, including the younger members, and rabbis and friends. First of all, let me say that it gives me great pleasure to be here this afternoon assisting in the launch of Ron Goldschlager's book, The Mystery of You, most aptly subtitled A Journey Through the Paradoxes of Life. Now, many of us here today know Ron, and some, like myself, are proud indeed to be close friends with him, with his wife Dina, and the whole Goldschlager family. And we know Ron in various capacities: chemical engineer, successful businessman, a philanthropist, and communally spirited Jew with a very inquiring mind. To also discover another side of Ron, as Rabbi Steinsaltz says, a good man, much taken with philosophizing and writing, is to discover a new and very interesting side of Ron. I told you he has to keep quiet till I'm finished. This book is a combination of 10 years of Ron's evolving thoughts and meditations on some very profound issues, as well as Ron's selection of some of the published writings of Rabbi Adin Steinsaltz, one of the great scholars and rabbis of our time. It is a marriage of Rabbi Steinsaltz's timeless intellect and Ron's timely wisdom. It fuses Rabbi Steinsaltz's language of mind and soul with Ron's melody of mind, soul, and heart. This fusion of ideas and reflections is complemented inspiringly by 18 magnificent reproductions of paintings by Victor Meissner, which relate very closely and in brilliant colour and clarity to Ron's chapter headings and themes, and to some of Rabbi Steinsaltz's important elucidations. Indeed, this is a unique and extraordinary collaboration. As the rabbi says, all of Ron's thoughts are adorned with the unique contribution of the author's personality, from which the reader constantly comes into contact with precious threads of thought that should be dealt with further. A cursory glance at the book will tell you that Rabbi Steinsaltz's preface is in the middle of the book, and his very first reprinted article is entitled Starting in the Middle, the first line of which is, and I quote, "It is a Jewish tradition to start everything from the middle. And thus, myself being both Jewish and traditional, I too am starting from the middle. Ron's thoughts take us on an innovative and resounding journey covering an enormous range of issues and places, and how those places and issues relate to the Almighty's great universe and to the writer himself. We are all born into a wonderful and yet mysterious world that poses many opportunities and challenges. For many of us, understanding those mysteries is at best a lifelong endeavour in which we engage on those occasions when the waves and currents of life subside. In writing this book, what Ron has done is to afford those unable or unwilling to embark upon this endeavour the opportunity to share firsthand Ron's journey into unravelling some of life's unknowns. Now, at the centre of Ron's analysis of the big questions of life, not surprisingly, is Hashem, and the comfort and the harmony and the compassion that this entails for practicing Jews. Ron's first chapter is called Aging, perhaps ironically, because I get the sense that Ron's journey in writing this book has made him younger, not older. In that first chapter, Ron explores the balance between man's material and spiritual existence and how that informs and interrelates with the Jewish daily, monthly, and yearly cycles. The message is clear. Each person is given an opportunity to live life as a better person than they might otherwise have become. And he explains how the quality of chesed, kindness and compassion for others, improves the world and helps save it. Chapter 2 looks at the well-known political freedoms of speech and press, etc., and so on. But Ron sees these very much as being secondary to the sanctity of life. Then, following these thoughts, he returns to the idea that the best model of freedom is life, liberty, and fraternity. In chapter 3, entitled Continuity, Ron examines the history of the Jewish people and in particular focuses on the observance of Shabbat. In Shabbat, Ron sees the bigger picture of how that day makes the world an us place rather than a me place. To quote Ron, "The values, the ethics, the morality, community, the continuity, all flow out of Shabbat." Now, I'm not going to give away what's in each of the other chapters, but I'll entice you by telling you that they cover issues of fundamentalism, outward observant and non-observant Jews, creation seen through Kabbalistic interpretations, gematria, somethingness and nothingness, the reconciliation of science and religion, relativism and absolutism. Happiness as a shared experience and happiness in obtaining balance in life are just some of the issues that Ron explores. Victor Meisner's artistic contributions really do reflect the spiritual nature of this book, and they provide additional insights into the issues that are the essence of the book. Rabbi Steinsaltzer's essays look at the great questions with traditional scholarly insight. I was particularly taken with the rabbi's analysis of the political philosophies of liberalism, socialism and communism, both idealistic and materialistic, and their Jewish biblical sources. His analysis of some of the manifestations of the intelligentsia are scathing, and the rabbi's strongly held view that to be as heroic as a lion is ephemeral, and that the contemporary hero of our time is one whose heroism is in the act of continuity in a situation where no promises of the future are known, comes as a relief to us mere mortals. Now, many of you may be concerned that really to get the best out of this book, you need to be a Talmudic scholar, or at least an observant Jew. Not so. This book would be of interest to anyone and everyone looking for the meaning of life within a spiritual context. The book is an accessible vantage point through which to see and experience the value of the Jewish faith, providing, as it does, insights to students of comparative religion as well as those seeking a greater understanding of the emotional connection between spirituality and action. So, Ron, kol hakavod, we salute your challenging and thought-provoking book that will leave the reader with much more to question and indeed to reassess the real mystery of you. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Rabbi Ralph Gunendi reaches out beyond the pulpit of the Caulfield Hebrew Congregation to inspire and challenge all of us to think more deeply and fulfil our potential as Jews and members of society. I think the following sentence from my father's book typifies the rabbi. We must value our identity, knowing what it is, identifying with it, understanding and living what it really entails, its rights and responsibilities, its past, future and present. I now invite Rabbi Gunendi to say a few words.
Thanks, Dahlia. Now, I don't get too many text messages which end with a series of kisses. Not from my wife, not even from Halsey, and not from any secret admirers. I should be so lucky. But I do get them, as I suspect many of you do, from Ron Goldschlager. Now, Joey Adams has said, never let a fool kiss you or a kiss fool you. And intriguingly, the Hebrew word for kiss, neshika, is very close to the Hebrew word for a weapon, neshek. A kiss is not always just a kiss. But in Ron Goldschlager's case, you can be assured that his kiss reflects a deep and caring heart. Ron is the quintessential Lev Tov, good heart, the man with a good and generous heart. To possess a good heart for the Mishnah is to be capable of seeing the best in others and seeking the best in every situation. It is known as an Ayin Tovah, a good eye. And to have a good heart is the ability to connect to others, to be able to relate with love and commitment, to be a chaver tov, a good friend, and to attract good friends. To own a good heart is to contribute to your community, to help shape your society, to be a shachen tov, a good neighbor. To be a person of heart, you need to travel with intuition and amazement to try and touch the future. To be what the Mishnah says, ro'et ha'nolad, to see what others cannot always see. Carlos Castaneda put it beautifully, and I quote, "For me, there is only travelling on paths that have heart, on any path that may have heart. And there I travel, and the only worthwhile challenge is to traverse its full length. And there I travel, looking breathlessly." And on virtually every page of this book, Ron's good heart comes shining through, be it in the windows that he opens to his family, be it in the journeys that he takes us on from Caulfield to East Timor, Nusa to Jerusalem, Sunshine Coast to Santiago, or be it in his reflections of what it means to be human, to struggle with the wily Yetzer Hara, those errant impulses that make fools of the very best of us. Or be it in Ron's ability to rejoice in the beauty and variety that make life so well worth living, to follow your soul down the intriguing passages of the Torah as he does, or to use his words, each day, another challenge. We live, we search, we hope, we find, we hold, we trust, we grow, we mellow. In this, as has already been pointed out, superbly illustrated book, Victor Meisner's rich and compelling paintings, they simply soar off the page. And you have in it the good heart of Ron and his own unique seven chapters of creation, from aging to staging, to the staging of science and religion. And you also have the musing, as we've heard, you have the musing of one of contemporary Judaism's most creative, fertile, curious, challenging, and sometimes skeptical Talmudic minds, that of Rabbi Adin Steinsaltz. He ranges from the deeply philosophical to that whimsical interview that's there by a young schoolgirl. It was Socrates who said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." Ron, in your own unpretentious, wholehearted way, you've examined the mystery of your own life, and in the process, you've opened a small window to all of us into the abiding mystery of you and I. Mazel tov, and we welcome this additional addition to the Goldschlager family.
For those of you who don't know him, and especially those who do, let me begin by saying that my father is a unique individual. He never takes anything at face value. He is always challenging the status quo, pushing boundaries, and venturing beyond what is expected in all aspects of life. He has a veritable love of life, family, science, nature, spirituality, and Judaism. And it is this passion for his world that inspired more than 10 years of writing, some 60 years of thought, culminating today in The Mystery of You. My father will tell you that he is not a writer, rather a man impassioned by life and thus compelled to write. I think this simple statement speaks volumes of his virtues. Please join me in welcoming my father, the author, Ron Goldschlager.
Dina and I have much pleasure to welcome you and to thank you for being here. A very special thank you to Helsey, who is sitting on the red chair, on that red chair. Thank you, Helsey, for organising this event, and to Mark Liebler, Rabbi Ralph, and Dahlia for launching this book here today. Thank you for your warm words. Special thank yous to everyone who helped make Mystery into the book it is. Marie Thompson. I'm looking to find Marie Thompson. Thank you, Marie. Victor Meisner, Yehudit Shaptar, who's New Shalem, Hybrid Publishers, Louis and Anna, Dennis Jones, Rachel Wundheiler, and our readers and our proofreaders, and to Professor Marky Baker and many others. Thank you from my heart. The real author, Rabbi Steinsaltz, often says that books are not made for book launches, nor to put on coffee tables or on shelves. Books are for reading. We both hope that you will read this book. Rabbi Steinsaltz also says that education is not so much about giving facts and information, but more importantly, about provoking questions. Art is about stimulating the imagination, because a picture talks more than 1,000 words. And Victor's inspired art really adds so much to mystery of view. Rav Steinsaltz opens his part of this book by writing, and I quote, on page 217, "Ron Goldschlager is neither a writer nor a philosopher." It's true. "I am not a writer. I'm just a person who cares about you and about other people like you. In other words, what I'm sharing with you in mystery is coming from the audience, where all of you are sitting together, and not from the lectern, not from a professor nor a rabbi. It is from every man and every woman to you. I hope that you will enjoy reading this book, sharing your own insights with others, and that you will find your own answers together with many questions." So with your permission, I'll step down from the lectern and I'll explain a little bit about what happened in my experiences with the book. Is it working? You can hear? No. Oh, we'll get a bit more volume going. That's better. And when I started writing the book, can we hear in the back? When I started writing these articles, and which was now 12 years ago, no. It was 10 years in the making. No. And we were away on vacation. It might work better from up there. Is that better? Hello? Yeah. Okay. We're away on vacation. Have to watch the time so we don't keep anyone here so late. And one of the things which had been bugging me for many years was the so-called apparent conflict between science and religion. My background is scientific, and I'm Jewish. I was becoming more religious, and I always believed in the Torah. I don't know why, even though I didn't know much about it, but that's what I believed. So I came across all kinds of apparent conflicts. And it's actually chapter 7, which has been added to the back of the book. And what I found was what we all see in the world, it's religion or science from some, and science or religion from others, but not both together. I wanted both together. And without giving too many examples, you see in the book, one thing which really disturbed me was when we make Kiddush on Friday night, and it's in creation, it says on the seventh day God rested. Couldn't understand why God should want to rest. So I went searching for it. So that's where I started with it. And I didn't know I was doing a book then, so I just had this urge to keep writing. So the next thing which bugged me was behaviour of people. And there's some stories in the book about behaviour, chapter 4 at the moment. And I think what really bugged me the most was that we all have to have rules and regulations, and we have like fences. There's fences which are barriers and boundaries. So I started playing with the concept of a fence, and in the Mishnah it talks about fences, and I was working out whether a fence is there to keep people out, or fences are there to keep people in, or if some people are sitting on the fence, and all kinds of things like that. So I got into behaviour. I'm not going in any particular order. Then I thought about happiness, and at this stage I was actually thinking about writing a book, because I had the chutzpah to ask Rabbi Steinsaltz when I met him once about a particular question in the science which was disturbing me, and I said, "Would you like to do this with me?" And the poor guy probably didn't have much of a chance to say no. He was probably shocked, so he said yes. And at that stage, I knew I was writing a book. I didn't know what the book was, but I knew I was writing, and I had to do the right thing and get it finished. So I got into happiness, and I play with the concept of the agricultural cycle and the time cycle in the Jewish world between Pesach and Shavuot, at Pesach and Sukkot, between spring and autumn, northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere. I mix it all up. And in Pesach, we have the concept of freedom, and in Sukkot, we've got the concept of happiness. So I'm trying to work out if you have to be free first to be happy, or if you can be happy to be free. Anyway, I leave it to you to work out what you think. And then I've got a cute kind of a chapter, Water, Life and Numbers, which I started writing and playing with some words. I was actually walking on a beach, and I was playing with two words in Hebrew. My Hebrew is not so good. It's a little bit okay. And there's a word, Mayim, which is water, because everything was created in the water, and there's another word, chaim, which is life, and there's similar spellings and numbers, and I was adding and subtracting, and I came with numbers, so I wrote this chapter. And I haven't told anyone this, but when I was at the Vatican with Rabbi Steinsaltz and we're talking about these things, that chapter went out the window and completely. And then I was very cheeky and I said, can I bring it a little bit back? Can it peep in? Can we look? And he said, no. So I left it. And then much later on, I had another look at it. So I took out all the things I knew that he's not my sense about, all the things I knew that I shouldn't have there. And I rewrote it. So it actually talks a lot about who makes the rules. Because we all have rules and regulations in society. In a Western democracy, which we all live in, we think we make the rules, and sometimes there's too many rules, and some of them don't make sense. And if you believe from a religious point of view, especially Jews from the Torah, we've got a Bible, we've got rules and regulations. So I play with rules and regulations, and who makes the rules, and what happens, etc. And then I got into aging, which is now the first chapter of the book. And I felt if we explore what happens at the end when we get old and frail and we observe people, particularly people who are sort of really in the sunset years of their lives, and we see all kinds of interesting things. So I was very curious about this and I looked into it. And that's now the first chapter of the book. To me, and it's religious, I suppose, in a way, spiritual. To me, it's the body and the mind, because the body's physical. It arrives and then it leaves. But the mind and the soul, which we believe in, is eternal. And it's this synthesis between the soul and the body, which affects our behaviour, it affects our life, it affects how we see people and how people see us. And there's a chapter on belief in bureaucracy, and that's my fight, I think, between the individual and the group, which happens in everything. And in any community and in any organisation, you've got the group and the individual. And I think from a belief point of view, when there's an impact of the group upon potentially what your belief is this struggle. Then I thought about continuity, and the book is not only written for Jewish people, it's written for everybody, but it comes from a Jewish thinking process. And I really challenge continuity and think about continuity of what. And I'm not giving speeches and preachers. And most people you meet in life seem to just go through every day, and they just live through each day with the normal worries and concerns. And I'm not sure how much people think about continuity, but continuity is important, and in Jewish context, it's very important. And I wrote an afterword. Afterword started with the story we were in Yerushalayim when we had a tour guide. And the tour guide was Israeli-born, from Holocaust-surviving parents. He'd served in the army and completely anti-everything, a complete non-believer in anything, which is fine. You don't have to believe. So we had some interesting discussions. So what I did is, it's partly that discussion and partly I made it up, because I make a lot of things up in the book. And partly it's a kind of an intellectual discussion between a person who does believe and a person who doesn't believe. And we all want to be good. Everybody believes you should be good. So what's good? So it's a discussion. And you'll see, if you read it, how we get there, we actually get to the same place. I feel that I'm lucky, because I feel that when you believe, it's much easier, because you know what's right and what's wrong. If you don't believe, you've got to find out or make up what's right or what's wrong, but you actually end up in the same place. Then, how am I going for time? Who's my timekeeper here? Helsey? Okay. Then, as all Jews will do, and when I was supposed to be finished, I had something extra to say. And you'll notice in Rabbi Steinsaltz, he has a lot of articles. So when we come to the end of my part, halfway through the book, something very strange happened to me. And there were a few weeks, this was about just over 2 years ago, there were a few weeks when I felt very strange, very strange. Everyone told me I was strange, my family, everyone at work, and I am strange, it's true. And I just found that I needed a huge amount of time for myself. I mean, as much as I love my work, I really wasn't interested in being in work. I love my family, and I love spending time with my family. I needed time to myself. So for quite a few weeks, quite often I'd spend a few hours, if I could, or in between an hour or two, in the car somewhere down near the beach, either go for a walk, or if it was raining or cold, I'd just sit in the car and had to think a lot, and I started writing. And this is what I'd like to finish my address with, if it's okay, because I was told in book launches you need to do a reading. So I haven't done any readings, I've been giving talkings. So what happened was, for me, at this stage, I'd met Victor, and Victor was very well progressed with the art. And I have to say, I think that's when this became a book for me. a book, a real book which was alive, full of love. Before then, it was a book, but it wasn't a book like this book. And what happened was, I think that if I could sum total all of these different journeys I've been talking about, it's really about good and evil, which is the ancient philosophical question. The Greeks had it. It's written about everywhere. What's good and evil? And I, in my own way, probably experienced or tried to experience intellectually the conflict between good and evil. And there is such a thing as the Yetzer Hara, which is the evil force. It's created by God. Some people call it the satanic force or the devil. And there is a Yetzer HaTov, which I believe is the godly spark in every single human being. And sometimes it's hidden or suppressed. So I'd like to finish, if I can, by writing and by reading just one part of the end of what I had. The Yetzer Hara knows you from afar. The Yetzer Hara is the evil force. The Yetzer Tov is the good force. The Yetzer Hara knows you from afar. It plays with your senses. It doesn't like fences. It's earthly material, imagination enhancing. It teases and tempts. Emotions are dancing, provoking fulfillment with short-term illusions, promising pleasant, indulging conclusions, working to stimulate body and mind with all sorts of images of its own kind. The Yetzer Hara is a creature of night. It thrives in darkness, avoiding the light. In the deepest recesses of your living soul, it plays out its mischief, for grief is its goal. An explosion of colour, a sight to delight, sounds most symphonic, such sweet perfume fragrance enhances the sight, with touch erotic, sublime, yet so slight. The subtle scent permeates, the touch which electrifies, the mellow, soothing sound, the taste more delectable, the sight to ignite, the thoughts which stir and arouse, the passions of the soul, in the beating of the heart, no finish, just start. Lurking in the dark recesses of the mind, never out in front, but always from behind, stalking vulnerability, feasting on deceit, your Yetzer Hara is plotting your defeat. Always there to help you, especially when you're down, cloaked in darkness through and through, disguised as friend, adorned with crown. I'm with you, but you're not there. I'm next to you, you're unaware. I move closer, but you don't see. The world does not include me. Your world does not include me. The void of despair, the emptiness depressingly bare. No affection, no feeling, no one to share. Living in darkness and absence of light, the blindness of sight in the darkness of night, emotionless sadness everywhere, and your Yetzer Hara is lurking there. Outpouring of heart, parched sad soul, the darkness is filled by illusion whole, seduced by deception, the unfulfilled dream, sucks dry the emptiness appealingly seen. The Yetzer Hara will make you feel good, with new beginnings follow you should. No thoughts of endings, nor journey nor face, just race to the now at your quickest pace. Your Yetzer Hara draws near from afar, but the door is ajar with the light of the night. This is your moment, your time to prevail. Gather your strength and you shall not fail. Let the light in and open that door. You want to win as the law gives you more for sure. Your Yetzer HaTov will illuminate all that you love and all that you hate. Bring in the light with all of your might. You'll hear the roar as your Yetzer Hara is expelled out of the door. Your Yetzer Hara can deceive you no more. Its cloak of illusion you ripped apart, exposed of delusion before it could start. Its routine of deception, its negative ways, you revealed your selection, the luminous rays. Your Yetzer HaTov leads you forward ahead, nurtured through strength of all being said and considered and chosen and not being led. Your Yetzer HaTov rules and prevails. Your Yetzer Hara is exposed and it fails. Thank you very much.
That concludes the formalities. Thank you all very much for coming. And for those who would like to stay around, Ron will be signing books in the foyer. We hope you've enjoyed the afternoon, and thanks a lot.